Amen. Go with me to Proverbs 13. Let me share this verse in the Amplified Classic. Because, as I said earlier, the title of this session is Our Hope. Our Hope. Proverbs 13, verses 12 and 13 in the Amplified Classic reads, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when a desire is fulfilled, it's the tree of life." So when your hope is not in the forefront, it makes your heart sick. Your emotions drag. Verse 13, "Whoever despises the word and counsel of God brings destruction upon himself, but he who reverently fears and respects the commandment of God is rewarded." So this verse is letting us know that our hope really needs to be on the word of God, on the counsel of God. Anything else will cause us to bring destruction upon ourselves. And I thought it was interesting. It didn't say whoever despises the word, destruction will come. It doesn't say the devil will bring destruction. It says we will bring destruction on ourselves because our hope is based on the wrong thing. And I guess what got me thinking in this lane, so to speak, as we move closer to November 5th, Election Day tension is in the hearts of people is growing stronger. Not me, it's November 5th is my birthday. I used to like it because school would be closed on Election Day. So I said they closed school for my birthday. But people are getting excited, people are getting concerned, people are worrying. When you look at the latest bit of political stuff that's going on, for lack of a better word or term, people are just losing their minds. And there's so much fear, there's so much anxiety, there's so much distrust going on. And I'm talking about with believers. Yes, we expect the world to be like that, but not us. Not us. Things that are being posted on social media are beyond ridiculous. And some of it's being done in the name of Jesus, and that gets very confusing because you have two groups of people watching and looking at these things. You have worldly people, and you have believers. And the world is not only watching what's going on, they're watching how the church handles themselves in the process. We shouldn't be concerned because the hope of the people is based on the results of the election. And when, depending on whose poll you believe, no one is positive that their candidate will win, and it's making their hearts sick. They're worrying. They're 2 points ahead. They're 1 point behind. They're 3 points ahead. They're 6 points behind. Romans 5. King James Version. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand. We have access by faith into his grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." One of the definitions of experience, according to the concordance, is proof. Proof. Patience produces proof. And that proof gives us hope. And hope settles us down. Where's your proof? Psalm 20, verse 7, in the Voice translation says, many put their hope in chariots, others in horses, but we place our trust in the name of the Eternal One, our true God. Many put their hope in other things, other people, other avenues, other atmospheres, others. But we, as born-again, spirit-filled believers, put our trust in the name of the Eternal One, our true God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a couple of questions. Are you remembering the Lord your God? Are you remembering how faithful He is and has been to you? Are we remembering that? Are we remembering what He said? He said, I know the thoughts that I think for you today. He said, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope, to give you hope, to give you hope and a future. Our God said that to us. He said, I know the plans. I know what I think towards you. And what I think is has nothing to do with evil. So if we place our hope there, we're not really concerned about what's going on around us. What's going on around us doesn't have to produce or be the vessel for our, or the stimulus for our hope. Our hope is that God said He has the plan for my life, and it's a plan to prosper me and not harm me. It's a plan that will give me hope, so my hope can be based on what He has said. My hope can be based on what I know He's thinking about me. And I don't have to place my hope on anything else or really be concerned about anything else. Because He's going to give me hope. He's going to give me a future. People are too busy and too wrapped up hoping that their candidate gets elected so they can have a future. But God's already taken care of that. And we have to understand that. God's already taken care of that. I know I can't hear you, but I want you to say it anyway. And if we're living according to His statutes, we'll have the experience with Him that will lead to hope. If we're living the way He told us, if we're operating the way He told us, if we're doing what He told us, we will experience everything that God said, and hope will develop based on that. Hope is an expectation of good. That's the Christian sense. A joyful and confident application. But unfortunately, we're not using hope in the Christian sense. There are natural definitions of hope. And one in particular, it's a person or a thing in which expectations are centered. So, for example, people put hope, place their hope in their employment. Make plans. Don't know whether or not the employer has the money. They hope that he does, but they'll make plans, make vacation plans, make plans for purchases to buy houses and cars and clothes based on the hope that they're going to get their paycheck on whatever their payday is, and they're going to continue to get that paycheck because the employer is always going to have the money. They have hope that that guy's not going to pull up, all take out all his money and skip town and go live to another country somewhere. But we hope. We put money in the stock market and we hope that that's going to be the answer. They have all these young people now flooding the athletic world and the entertainment world with hope that they're going to make it. They place their hope there, and when they don't make it, sometimes they're tragic results. Too many people are placing their hope on that things like that, on a nation, on a person. And if that's what you're doing, then when the dust settles on November 6th, you're going to be, there'll be a lot of people who are going to feel hopeless. Why? Because their person didn't win. Jesus said in his word in Romans, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We through patience. What does patience have to do with it? I believe what the scripture says and I'm willing to wait for it. Comfort. I'm settled in my waiting because of I believe what the scripture says. Notice it didn't say that through comfort of the candidate. It didn't say through comfort of your party affiliation. It didn't say through comfort of other things. It says comfort of the scriptures. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, this is one of my many favorite Bible accounts. Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the high priest Malchus, cut off his ear. And Jesus picked up the man's ear and put it back in place. If I'm one of the soldiers, I leave at that point. You want me to arrest someone that just restored an ear? I don't think so. I'll take my chances, you know, with the king being upset with me. But Jesus put the ear back on and said to Peter, put away your sword. And he said, don't you know that right now I could pray the Father and he'll send more than 10 legions of angels? But then he said something that we have to think about. But how will the scriptures be fulfilled? So we have to let this happen. How will the scriptures be fulfilled? So yes, I have the power to stop something, but how would the scriptures be fulfilled if I did it? Jesus was doing a demonstration of having hope in the scriptures. That lets us know that our hope comes from the word of God and our hope is based on what God has said, what God has written, what the Holy Ghost has revealed. God said he so loved me. His love is perfect, and his word tells me that perfect love casts out fear. So why should I walk around fearful of anything or anybody or any result? God loves me perfectly, and he's promised to take care of me. Proverbs 21 tells me that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he, the Lord, turns it whatsoever way he desires. The Good News Translation, this is the first time I read this particular translation of this scripture. The Lord controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. You think about how easy streams flow through. Doesn't matter whether it's rocky surface, smooth surface, what the river just flows right through it. And it says, as easily as God does that, he controls the mind of a king. So God is not going, I don't care who's in office, God's will for this earth will happen. God's will for the people will happen. It's not based on who's in office. It's based on who's believing what he said. He controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. So ultimately, his will be done. That verse is telling us that God will turn the hearts of our rulers whenever he needs to. God is going to be done regardless of who God's will is going to be done, no matter who's in office. And I can say that as soon as I get my document back. Sorry about that, folks. I hope I find it. I'm going to find it. This is why I can say that. Look at 1 Timothy 2. Very familiar scripture. We always use it whenever we have prayer service. First is the Amplified Classic. First of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. On behalf of who, folks? All men. Kings, for kings, and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness, If we as believers pray the way God told us to pray, we're going to live in all godliness, regardless of who's in office. Why? Because we're praying, and one translation says, pray that God will help them. So when you think about it in that light, it's not the political platform. It's what the believers are going to be praying. And how the believers are going to be praying that will make the difference. We give inanimate things too much power. We shouldn't give them any power. That we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. People, this world is going to be godly. They're going to reverence God. They're going to be serious about it in every way. It says, for such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved, and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. Now, he wants this for all that are in authority. First of all, we seem to forget he wants this for all men, all people. But then he highlights those that are in authority. It's like he really wants it for them. So it doesn't matter. It does not matter if we do what God says and pray and give thanks to God for all that are in authority. We will live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, regardless of whether the person we thought would win won. And we need to place our hope in that. I was remembering the account of how we got this building. Redeeming Love Christian Center, 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, 10954. The ministry was renting space near Fairleigh Dickinson University in Jersey at a place called Peace Hall. They weren't renewing the lease. We had outgrown that building. Pastor Clinton had seen a vision of a building that was circular, with spokes coming from the center, with aisles coming from the center like spokes on a wheel. And when someone told him about this place and he came and saw it, and it was exactly what he saw in that vision. And he and Pastor Sarah, they prayed and they claimed this building as theirs, as the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. But there were problems getting a mortgage and all that type of stuff. And so what happened in that process, RKO bought the building and wanted to turn the building into a multiplex theater. But to do so, they needed a variance from the town, because the way the town code was, It didn't permit a movie theater. It didn't permit a multiplex movie theater. When the pastors found out about that, they didn't get upset and suck their teeth and start drowning. Well, God, why'd you let this happen? You showed me this building. Didn't let someone else buy it. That's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Just walking around with a baby, might as well give him a bottle or a pacifier. No, they sought God. And God gave Pastor Sarah the plan. Every day at 9 o'clock, go up to the property, drive around the building once. As you drive, speak to the building and tell it you will only function as the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. And that's what she did. I don't remember how long, but she did it until God told her to stop. And they put their hope on that. They didn't go down and lobby with the town, try and rally the people, sign a petition. No, they did what God told them to do and put all of their hope in that, all of their trust in that. Well, how many of you know that RKO, being a mega corporation, did all of their due diligence before they made that type of purchase? They knew, they were very familiar with the town codes and the zoning laws. But I believe that when you're a major corporation like that, you don't make those types of purchases without making sure you can do what you intended to do with the property. So I'm sure that they did their lobbying and they found out that they had enough votes on the council, so they went ahead and made the purchase. But the night of the vote, they lost by one vote. And they didn't understand why until the person who they thought was on their side spoke up. He said, don't know if he was spiritual or whatever, he said he was for the movie theater, but something woke him up in the middle of the night and said, vote, but do not vote for the movie theater. RKO put their trust in their name, put their trust in their money, and what they thought was their persuasive conversations. Pastors Clinton and Sarah put their trust in the word of the Lord, and the Lord came through. Now, I want you to understand something. While they were waiting, they didn't walk around whining and complaining and wonder when this is going to happen. Oh, whoa, I don't know what we're going to do. The other place was telling us we had to be out of there by a specific date. And they said, oh, woe is us. What are we going to do now? What are we going to tell all these people? No. They told the people the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie, and though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Building, you will only function as a new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. They put their trust in what God had them confessing. And the building couldn't do anything but function as the new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. There wasn't anything. RKO, that's why you got to have your hope in the right place, folks. RKO offered the building to the pastors and offered to hold the mortgage, 5-year balloon mortgage. People thought they were crazy for taking that. But RKO didn't put a prepayment penalty clause into the mortgage document. Didn't do it. So about 2 years after the purchase, the ministry called them and said, what's the balance? Because we're writing a check to pay off the balance. They didn't want to take it, but their attorney said, no, you have to take it. Saved the ministry a lot of money. RKO had to pay extra taxes because, again, One trust was in God, the other put their trust in worldly things. God comes through to those who will trust him. Will trust him. You have to have an experience with God, and that experience leads to hope. Hebrews 6, in the King James Version, says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Since we have that word from God, why are we concerned about anything else? God said, surely, but blessing, he will bless me. Surely, multiplying, he will multiply me. And so after that, all I have to do is what it says in verse 15, patiently endure, and I'll obtain the promise. For all men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them to an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his course, confirmed it by an oath. Confirmed it. He promised it, and then he confirmed it. All we have to do is trust in it. Verse 19, well, I'll read verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. Which hope we have, listen to this carefully, folks, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hope is the anchor to our soul. It holds fast our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our emotions, and most importantly, it guards our words. Because the Bible says, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it'll be done. So what we say about what we're going through, or what we're experiencing, what we're feeling, and what we're thinking is critical to receiving that which we hope for. And if our hope is in the Lord, our thoughts will be, what's the word I'm thinking about? Not censored. But they'll be pre-screened. The Bible tells us to capture our thoughts. We'll be sensitive to the Holy Ghost saying, don't think that thought. It'll guard our words. Say, I'm so sure that my God will provide. And we won't say the other stuff that will get us in trouble. When our hope is in the Lord, our thoughts will be on God's promises. Our feelings, emotions, and actions will be godly, and our words will be full of faith as we speak things into existence. Hope deferred, as I shared earlier, makes the heart sick. Psalm 20, which I shared previously, many put their hope in chariots, others in horses, but we place our trust in the name of the Eternal One, our true God. And I'm not a singer. I'm not going to sing. But I'm going to emphatically say that this song came through my thinking as I was looking over these notes about an hour ago. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, All other ground is sinking sand, and that's where I build my hope, on Christ the solid rock. That's where you need to place your hope, on Christ the solid rock, because on Christ the solid rock, you'll stand. You'll stand. So you pray. I'm not saying don't vote. We have a civic responsibility to vote. But don't place your hopes on election results. God's not concerned. He knows what he's doing. All we have to do is what he said. That's it. And what he said to us, the most powerful thing that we can ever do is pray, just like he said, for men everywhere, for kings. Father, we lift up those candidates for office, every office, and we say right now, your will be done in their life, because regardless of what they think their platform is, whoever's elected will make decisions and choices that will cause us, allow us to live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty before your face. Because you said that's good and pleasant, because you want all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And we're going to ensure that happens by placing our trust in your word to pray for men everywhere, kings and all that are in authority. And we will do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I let you go, because there's more I want to say, but Holy Ghost said, we're done. So if he says we're done, we're done. But I want to make sure that everyone's in a proper place, in proper position, so they can have that hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So you won't be out there alone. Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Period. Just by what you say. With your mouth, you'll make a confession unto salvation. We don't want you to live this life apart from Christ, and we certainly don't want you to have to spend eternity in hell. Because when you think about that, hell is forever. Anyone that goes to hell is never, ever going to get out. And we can do something about that. So make this confession. Father God, I believe that you are God. And I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell. He was buried and went to hell in my place. And I believe that after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you now. And I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. Give me that new hope. In your name I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession, according to the word of God, you just got born again. And we would like to just help you get started on your way. So if you just use the information we're putting on the screen on how to contact us. And let us know. Tell us you made that confession with Pastor Greg and you're now born again. I need to know the next step. We will send you free information as to what your next steps are. If you have a question and you're not sure about something, use the contact information and contact us. You contact me, I promise you, I will return the call or the text or the email It may not be the same day, but I will return it. I will.